It's a conversation with the corrections secretary here in the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A federal investigation into alleged civil rights violations at Lincoln Hills Youth Prison ended without charges last week. But now a new report this week from a court-ordered monitor indicates that inmates at the state's youth prison are still being strip-searched, still being pepper-sprayed by guards, despite a federal court order to limit these practices. What questions do you have for the leader of the Department of Corrections? Do you support Governor Evers' proposal regarding criminal justice, like raising pay for correctional officers? Join in at 800-642-1234. Kevin Carr is Secretary Designee for the Wisconsin Department of Corrections. Secretary Carr, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, good morning, Kate, and good morning to your listeners. I'm happy to be with you today.
We're going to get to Lincoln Hills in just a moment, but some background on you first. Before this nomination, you were a U.S. Marshal, and then prior to that, you spent 30 years in the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Department. How does that experience inform the decisions you're making as the head of DOC?
Well, my law enforcement experience gives me a perspective on really the front end of the system, and now I'm responsible for what some might call the back end of the system, where we have to care for those in our custody and hopefully change their lives in a positive way. So my 39 years of law enforcement experience, and many of those years were spent working for the Milwaukee Sheriff's Office, where at one time we ran both the House of Correction and the county jail in Milwaukee, provides me with a point of view that I think brings a fresh set of eyes to the department.
Well, you have a lot on your plate as you look at the back end of this system. What is your top priority as you take on this new role? What is your immediate attention?
Well, you know, my top overall priority for the Department of Corrections is to engage in bipartisan criminal justice reform that will have a very broad impact on the criminal justice system in Wisconsin as a whole. That was one of Governor Evers' priorities when he got elected, and it was that priority, along with others, that convinced me to accept the position of Secretary of DOC.
What does bipartisan criminal justice reform look like to you? How do you get there?
Well, you know, I believe that you get there by engaging all stakeholders that have an interest in criminal justice issues and listening to the people and hearing what their concerns are about the criminal justice system, working with legislators who also hear those concerns and the governor's office, and creating an environment where we can share ideas and work towards solutions that are going to lower recidivism, lower the cost to taxpayers, lower our overall inmate population, which is one of the governor's goals, and increase public safety at the same time by changing the lives of those that we care for in our institutions and those that we care for in the community.
So Wisconsin is in the process of closing Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake Juvenile Correctional Institutions. Governor Evers announced that the closure would take longer than the Walker administration had intended. So can you give us an update on this process? Where are we at?
Sure. First of all, the legislature at this point has clearly indicated that they also agree that there's going to be more time needed to actually close Lincoln Hills because the timeline is so short, and they have heard from the counties that they need more time to build the facilities that were envisioned by the passage of Act 185. But the governor's budget clearly indicates, and I agree with the governor on this, is that we will close Lincoln Hills as soon as there is an appropriate facility to place them in. That means the day that we have new bed space that complies with the new vision for criminal justice, which is based on a model called Closer to Home, we will close Lincoln Hills on that very day, as soon as we possibly can. There's nothing more important to the governor and myself than, you know, the safety and security of our kids and closing Lincoln Hills as soon as possible. To create artificial deadlines that maybe you can meet or not, just, you know, to me doesn't comport with reality.
We're talking with Kevin Carr, as Secretary Designee for the Wisconsin Department of Corrections. You have a line, 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for the head of the Department of Corrections? Do you support Governor Evers' proposal regarding criminal justice? What do you want to see changed? What does criminal justice reform mean to you? We're at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's go to Lucy now, joining us from Madison. Hi, Lucy.
Hi. I wanted to ask Mr. Carr. I definitely support increasing pay for prison guards, because I've talked to a couple prison guards who they're really under a lot of stress and pressure. They have to work extra shifts, and that's just dangerous for them and the prisoners. And I also wanted to ask if there's any pot of money that could be used right away to add more guards and more social workers, things like that, so that the kids in the Lincoln Hills are getting better treatment that would probably help them act better rather than just strip searching and pepper spraying.
Lucy, thanks for the call. And what do we know about changes that can get underway at Lincoln Hills before we even build these smaller youth detention centers around the state?
Lucy, thank you for your question. That's a really good question to ask. And we're working closely with the court-ordered monitor. Of course, I will preface that by saying we're under a court-ordered consent decree, which means that the state of Wisconsin and the plaintiffs in the case, the ACLU and unnamed individuals that I shouldn't really name, have agreed to have a court-ordered monitor oversee changes that we are supposed to make at Lincoln Hills and then report back to the court to tell the court what the progress of those changes are. So we're working with the monitor, we're working with the ACLU, we're working with Wisconsin and national experts to ensure that the youth currently housed at Lincoln Hills receive the proper mental health care, education, and support that they need to be successful. That also includes trying to address our staffing shortage. The day that I walked into this office, the Department of Corrections had between 700 and 800 vacancies. And the governor is attempting to address that issue. We are trying to address that issue by looking at increasing the compensation for the starting wages for officers working in the Department of Corrections. Right now, our starting wage that we offer a starting correctional officer or a youth counselor is around $16.32 an hour. Our surrounding states pay considerably more for people doing the exact same amount of work. Right now in the state of Wisconsin, with the unemployment rate being around 2.9%, which is relatively low, the competition for labor and employees is extremely strong. And so we're looking at compensating our staff in a more appropriate way in order to fill some of these vacancies that currently exist.
Secretary Carr, the court-ordered monitor also said in this report that the guards continue to work 16-hour shifts many days in a row, and they're not swiftly responding to inmates' calls for help. How would you respond to that?
Well, just a week ago or so, I was at Lincoln Hills where we graduated one of our largest classes of youth counselors, which was 18. And prior to them coming online this week, there were multiple dozens of overtime shifts available. I was told last week by my management staff there that after the graduation of that class, the number of shifts available for overtime went down to 5. So that's out of a staff of between 1 and 200 individuals working up there. So we're moving in the right direction. You know, we're never going to be satisfied with the staffing level until every available position is filled. And we have another class going right now. So, you know, the more staff that you have, as was indicated by Lucy earlier, the lower the staff-to-youth ratio is, and the better care that we can provide our youth in that facility.
Looking at the Green Bay Correctional Institution houses 300 more inmates than it was originally designed for. Replacing it is estimated to cost $500 million. Governor not including funds for that in his budget. What can we be done about overcrowding?
Well, as I said earlier, my top priority is to engage in bipartisan criminal justice reform in a similar way that has happened in many states around the country. I just attended a terrific meeting last night at Marquette University where the discussion was all about criminal justice reform that has recently taken place in the state of Michigan. And the state of Michigan, through smart, thoughtful, bipartisan, and quite frankly, it was initially Republican-led criminal justice reforms, they were able to close 5 prisons within the last few years.
We have to pause right there. Secretary Kevin Carr with us as our guide, looking at the issues surrounding Lincoln Hills, other issues in criminal justice reform. You have a line, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. We're talking with Wisconsin's Corrections Secretary here on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Lincoln Hills Youth Prison and a number of other correctional facilities across the state are facing staffing shortages, as we've been talking about. In effort to address that, the governor's budget would increase pay for guards to around $18 an hour. One of the issues we're addressing here. You can join in, 800-642-1234. What do you think needs to happen regarding juvenile criminal justice in Wisconsin? Do you support smaller regional facilities? What about raising pay for guards, increasing the age for charging juveniles as an adult from 17 to 18? Call in, email ideas at WPR.org. Department of Corrections Secretary Designee Kevin Carr stays with us. Let's go back to the phones now with John joining us from Janesville. Good morning, John.
Good morning. So I had a couple little comments I wanted to make. So my brother was charged as an adult when I was younger, and he was kind of thrust into the system pretty quickly, and it was pretty traumatic for my family. And so I guess a couple comments that I wanted to make were, you know, is there anything that we're doing to help families and, you know, the impact it can have on families? The second was, you know, with, you know, the abuse of confinement. And also, what are we doing to help prepare these people to get out? Because I'm seeing my brother still struggle with trying to get on his feet. And luckily he has a family that's still trying to help him. But I mean, I know it can be a lot harder out there for other people.
John, thanks so much for that perspective. And John's brother still struggling to get on his feet, Secretary?
Yes, and John, thank you for your call this morning. I'm glad that you asked that question because reentry is one of the primary focuses of the governor's budget this year. We're really excited to see some of his reentry proposals, such as we have a successful program in DOC called OARS, or Opening Avenues to Reentry Success, that is currently in 44 states. The governor has proposed that we expand that really successful program to all 72 counties in the state. And OARS helps those with mental health diagnoses navigate their progress in reintegration to the communities by providing them with job opportunities, training opportunities, health care, including mental health services and medication and other supports in order for them to be successful in the community. We also, under the governor's budget, are expanding our Windows to Work program and job centers in our prisons. We're asking for four more job centers in our facilities around the state so that those that we care for in our facilities can start to look for job training or job opportunities once they reenter our communities.
John,
we have several programs. Excuse me. We have several programs throughout the system where we train people and provide them with certifications to get jobs once they get out into the community. I'm sorry, Kate.
Yeah,
go ahead.
John also brought up solitary confinement, and at least one Wisconsin inmate recently went on a hunger strike to protest the practice of solitary. Activists have called for ending the practice entirely. What purpose does solitary confinement serve in Wisconsin's institutions?
Well, the governor has made it clear that reducing the use of solitary or segregation is one of his priorities, and it's one of mine as well. And there have been several states around the country who have engaged in that process and reduced the use of segregation by providing their staffs with different management tools to use to manage people's behavior while they're in custody. Wisconsin is going in that direction. There are many facilities that I have visited already that have started to implement some very exciting and new strategies on how to reduce the use of segregation in our facilities. The need for segregation may never entirely go away to zero, though we would love it to, because there are some folks that, you know, whether it's through mental illness or other reasons, are just extremely violent, and they're dangerous to themselves, staff, and other inmates. And we have to find a very humane and safe way to manage that population. And we're committed to moving in that direction.
Lots of people who would like to talk with you. Let's go to Jeff now in Milwaukee. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, good morning. Mr. Secretary, I got a question. I was reading an article about Massachusetts Department of Corrections recently. They started a program with so many people coming into the system with active addictions, and a lot of it is opioid, and there's others, other addictions as well. They're offering to inmates who want it, not to everybody, but Suboxone, Methadone, Vivitrol, in hopes that if they start on a path to abate their addiction, that when they do reenter, that they don't go right back to active addiction, which usually was kind of a route that got them in there in the first place. Is Wisconsin looking at something like that by chance?
I'm glad you asked that question, Jeff, because the Department of Corrections currently is one of the country's leaders in the use of Vivitrol. I just had members of my staff present at a national conference to inform other states as to what we're doing with our Vivitrol program here at DOC.
Jeff, thanks for the call. And let's go to Sandra now in Waukesha. Sandra, hi.
Hi. I'm calling Secretary Carr to find out what is happening as far as a plan to the work on the release of hundreds of parole-eligible inmates who have been sentenced under the old law and who have been in prison quite a few years over their parole-eligible date.
Sandra, thank you.
Thank you for your call and your question. Currently, the governor is in the process of selecting a parole commissioner, a permanent appointment, and I know that that issue is important to the governor and myself because I believe, and the governor as well, that that's all part of the comprehensive criminal justice reform that needs to take place to look at the three categories of law that are seriously impacting our prison populations: old law prisoners, new law prisoners, and truth and sentencing prisoners. And the biggest group of those right now is the truth and sentencing prisoners because they have determinate sentences. That means they have to serve every single day that they were sentenced to. And 50 or 60 or life means exactly that, 50, 60 or life. The old law prisoners are starting to age out of the system, so they're a smaller group. But what we're doing about that is, you know, again, we hope to address a lot of the issues that those categories have in impacting our prisoner population by engaging the legislature in comprehensive criminal justice reform. The parole aspect of it is something that is certainly going to be addressed by the appointment of a permanent new parole commissioner who has a vision of parole that aligns with the governor's.
Well, as we wrap up here, Milwaukee County has a plan to transition all health care for inmates in-house, moving away from using private companies for medical services. What's your take on this? You worked in Milwaukee County for decades.
I believe that Milwaukee County is probably moving in the right direction, but that's a policy decision for them to decide.
Well, Secretary Carr, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. And I, you know, thank you for your time and interest. And the DOC is an agency that's very large. We have 10,000 employees and 37 facilities around the state, 131 probation and parole offices, and all of the employees that I've encountered at the Department of Corrections are just tremendous professionals that I'm just proud to work with every day.
We'll leave it there. Kevin Carr, Secretary Designee for the Wisconsin Department of Corrections. Just ahead, Wisconsin lawmakers are promoting a plan that would make the state's process for handling sexual assault kits. We'll talk with one of the lawmakers behind the bill. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.